You're listening to Focus on the Bible.
What in the world is happening with Israel? Well, because generally news agencies these days have become so untrustworthy, it's hard to know exactly the details of what happened in this latest attack. But let me try and summarize this for us all as a beginning for Focus on the Bible today. It seems that, based on the things that I've read, to be believed or not, that several hundred terrorists entered the secured zone of Israel last week, a part of them by using hang gliders. They attacked men, women, and children, at least hundreds of them at an outdoor concert. Several hundred people were killed and more were captured and dragged across the border. Men, women, and children. Some were beheaded. Whole families were killed in their beds. And even some of the beheadings appear to be babies. At the same time, about 5,000 rockets were fired into Israel and hundreds more have died. And the end of it all, up to this point, it seems to me, can I speak very roughly, that about 1,000 people on each side of this conflict have been killed, and there's no end in sight to what's going to happen now. The whole world is now in chaos and up in arms over these latest events. But friend, I want you to know, this latest event is one event in a long line of events that falls right in line with the history of Israel. Why is it that that little country Israel is the center of the world? Let's talk about this. Here are some opening facts to get our minds thinking about Israel today. First of all, that little country occupies a piece of land today that is smaller than the state of New Jersey. Think of that, friend. Israel has less than 1% of the world's total population today. Yet Israel is announced in the nightly news more than any other country in the world, with the possible exception of the United States of America. And today, Israel, as in our whole lifetimes, is the most hated country and people group in the whole world. Why? If Israel is so small, has so few people, percentage-wise, in the world, why is it that though Israel is pretty quiet, yet why are they so loud? Why? Well, in order to understand Israel today and those who hate Israel today, we need to understand history. History is so important to us. It's often said that history repeats itself. Yet that's actually not true, friend. Let me make this point. History doesn't repeat itself. Now, it seems that man continues to do the same kinds of things over and over and over again. But it's not the history, it's not the details of history that repeat. It's human nature that repeats. Human nature repeats. So when you look at the long timeline of history, man is continually doing the same things that he has done before. And that's certainly true in the case of Israel. If we want to understand it today, we can't look at today. You can't go and say a whole lot about why this happened last week without understanding what happened 1,000 years ago or more. And so let's look at biblically where this conflict began and where we know biblically it's going to head in our lifetimes and beyond. Genesis and chapter 12 is the beginning of Israel. It begins with a man named Abram. Now, Abram was the son of Terah, a man who was a high priest under Nimrod, who was an evil king. And there came a time when Abram was called out by the God of heaven and told to leave his country because there was something a lot better for him in the plans of God. Genesis chapter 12 now, here we go, and verses 1 through 3. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. Verse 2. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. Verse 3. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. What we just read in Genesis 12, verses 1 through 3, friends, are what we students of the Bible call the Abrahamic promise or covenant. Now, as I was a child, that all sounded so complicated, but it's really pretty simple. God called out Abraham under a different name in the beginning as Abram, and God told him, leave where you live now, and I have some things for you. Because you go, the whole world gets blessed. Let's break this down a little. First of all, God promised Abraham land. He's going to give him land. Number two, he promised him that that land would become the home of a people group that would be a great nation. Number three, he promised him that God's blessings would come into that nation. And that that nation would then spread God's blessings to affect the whole world. He said that Abraham is going to have a great name in the world. And that this plan of God, this nation of Israel, would be so central to God's plans that those who bless Israel will be blessed by God Almighty. And also those that curse Israel would be cursed by God. Now think of this, friend. Israel has given to the world. To make this point that God has been so true and clear in his intent, that God has been so intentional to keep those promises he made by God, I want us today to consider some things. There is a land. Israel possesses it. Israel has in fact been a great nation, and every night is in the news. God's blessings have been given to that land. The very fact that it stands today is testimony of the power of God. Abraham has a great name. I think he's the most popular man who's ever lived. And Abraham is to this day so central in God's plans that you can trace it on a map, friend. Who's the friend of Israel that is blessed? Who's the enemy of Israel that is cursed today? Because of that standing with Israel. Some more to think of. Although Israel only has less than 1% of the world's population, it claims 1/5 of the Nobel Prize winners in our lifetimes. 1/5. Over 20% of Nobel Prize winners belong to that nation. Israel has given the world those Nobel Prize winners because of their giftedness, their creativity, their industriousness. Israel also has given us the Bible, the world's all-time bestseller book, the most read book in all the world's literature. Israel has given us the prophecies of the future of the world. Not one of them has failed to this day. We have no reason to think that any of them will ever fail. We believe the Word of God. The prophecies are contained. Israel gave us the law of God on which so many nations in the world today have based their governments, at least in part, including the government of the United States of America, formed around the Ten Commandments of God given to Moses. And Israel has given the world its one and only Savior, Jesus Christ. Why then is Israel so hated? If Abraham is so popular in all these places, and if Israel has given so much, and in fact the world has been so blessed, why then is the irreparable hatred of the enemies of Israel on the news today? Well, let's look at the history. In Genesis chapter 16, Abraham has been promised this child, a son, and yet God has not yet, in Genesis 16, given that son. So a very impatient wife, Sarai, goes to Abraham and says, well, I have a handmaiden and I want you to take her and you can get that son that's so important. Abraham caves in to the pressure of his wife, Genesis 16, verses 1 through 4, and he takes that handmaiden, Hagar, as his wife. She bears to him a child, and there is instant trouble. Genesis 16 and verse 4 says, and he went in unto Hagar, and she conceived. And when she saw that she had conceived, her mistress was despised in her eyes. And so why a man would need these two women, calling them both wives, is beyond me. One's enough for anybody, amen. But now the one, the maid, has had the baby and despises the one in charge of that household, Sarai. Sarai goes to Abraham and says, I saw the look of your handmaid now that she's had the baby. She's looking at me with despite. So Abraham says, well, do what you want to do. And Sarai was hard in her treatment of Hagar. Hagar leaves with the child. God shows mercy and finds them in the desert, Genesis 16. And the angel of the Lord found her, verse 7, by a fountain of water in the wilderness, by the fountain in the way to Shur. And he said, Hagar, Sarai's maid, whence camest thou, and whither wilt thou go? And she said, I flee from the face of my mistress, Sarai. And the angel of the Lord said unto her, return to thy mistress and submit thyself under her hands. Skip to verse number 11 now. The Bible says, the angel of the Lord said unto her, behold, thou art with child and shalt bear a son and shalt call his name Ishmael. That name, by the way, Ishmael means God will hear. And that's precisely what God did. He heard the cries of a forsaken Hagar in the desert. Verse 17 describes Ishmael, and he will be a wild man. His hand will be against every man, and every man's hand against him, and he shall dwell in the presence of all his brethren. And that, my friends, is the bedrock of the history of Israel and those today who hate, despise, and have attacked yet once again. And this hatred has burned ever since Genesis chapter 16 was written and its prophecies laid out in advance by God. Here are some observations as my time runs short today. Number one, Israel is a case that leads us to faith. If I had nothing else in the Bible, but I saw these promises from God that that nation is going to advance in the world, and all its enemies that have threatened to blow that nation away, to remove it from the earth, and yet today, every night in the news, is Israel in the center of the world. Number two, the conflict we have won't resolve itself until the Prince of Peace comes into the world. Number three, Jesus died for everybody. Ishmael received the mercy of God, and Jesus went to the cross saying, it is finished, that everyone's sin was paid, and any can be saved into eternal life. Number four, Israel one day will all be saved. Isaiah chapter 45 and verse 17, so clearly God lets us know in advance Israel's future, but Israel shall be saved in the Lord with an everlasting salvation. You shall not be ashamed nor confounded, world without end. Their salvation waits for them in Jesus, friend, and so does yours and mine. Amen.
This episode is a production of Focus Evangelistic Ministries Incorporated. For questions or comments about this episode or another biblical topic, you can write to us at Focus Ministries Incorporated, P.O. Box 498, Danielsville, Georgia, 30633. For more information about our ministry, you can visit our website, freddiecoyle.org. That's FreddieCoyle.org. We hope to see you again for next week's episode of Focus on the Bible.